this is the Monday Mindset Podcast,
where we share things of interest to us and hopefully to you.
So let's get started with episode number 8.
In this episode, Daisy is going to share something with us. Daisy, what do you have today?
So this is an episode from a podcast that you introduced me to, actually, Impact Theory with Tom Bilyeu. I quite enjoy it. It's good. Good introduction. Thank you very much.
You bet.
It was number 168, Jewel, on how this simple trick can turn anxiety into a powerful ally. And as soon as I saw the name, I thought, I recognize Jewel. I've got one of her albums somewhere. But did you know that she's not only a singer-songwriter, but she's an actor, best-selling author and poet. She's had a Cirque du Soleil show about her life. She's a philanthropist, and she's really big in the mindfulness movement and has recently made a documentary with Deepak Chopra called Mindfulness Movement. I didn't know those things about her.
I did not know any of that.
I was listening to the intro and it was like, wow, this woman is superwoman. So that really stirred me up to, I was really excited about listening to the rest of it after that. Just not surprised. You shouldn't be surprised as someone has all these achievements. But just known her as a singer-songwriter. So it's just like, wow. She talks about different things. But the thing that I want to focus on, which is where she starts really, is what she calls the observer. And she tells the story of a period of time when she was homeless and she used to have lots of panic attacks and agoraphobia. And she talks about it in a lot more detail as she was living out of her car for a while, and then her car got stolen. She was on the streets and all these things, and, you know, quite a story. She was getting all these panic attacks, really suffering from anxiety, and was determined to do something about it. And she was inspired by a quote from Buddha: happiness doesn't depend on who you are or what you have. It depends on what you think. So she decided she was going to change her life one thought at a time. But the problem was her anxiety was making it really hard for her to track her thoughts. So she decided quite sort of randomly that she was going to watch her hands. This is really where the observer comes from, was born out of. But she laughs at this silly thing, but it's just what she decided to do. She was going to just watch her hands all the time and journal it. You can tell she's a poet. There are some lovely quotes that she comes out with during the podcast, and this is one of them. Your hands are the servants of your thoughts. It's your thoughts slowed down into action. So in a notebook, she would just write down everything about her hands, watching her hands, you know, how she opened a door. She did this with her hands, with that with her hands. But also then all the thoughts as well would just come tumbling out onto the page. And the biggest one that kept reoccurring was that she didn't believe in herself. But what she noticed was that through this process of watching her hands and writing it down in her notebook, her anxiety started to go away. And here's another one of her quotes. Fear is a thief. It takes the past and it projects it onto the future and robs you of the only opportunity you have to change. So she realized that when she was observing herself, her anxiety disappeared. And she has a little play on that quote, I think, therefore I am. I observe what I think, therefore I am. She goes on to expand on this, expand on the observer and these thoughts. And she says, she is not her thoughts, but the observer of them. And when you're observing your thoughts, it creates this room, a gap between who you are and your thoughts. For example, you're not sad, but you're the observer of sad. She goes on from that to just talk about her view on mindfulness. And she says, if you have a thought, it's creating a gap before you act on that thought. And then she talks about this gap as a magical space where you can change. You can step in and form new neural pathways and starve old ones. She says, if you're being observant or curious, you're in a mindful state. If you're anxious, all you need to do is get really observant and curious. And that forces you into a mindful state and starts, you know, calming you down a bit. And I was talking to a good friend of mine about this, who she suffered from anxiety over the years. And she told me a trick that she was taught to help bring you sort of back down if you're having a panic attack or if you're having a period of intense anxiety. And I don't know exactly what it's called, but it's basically a grounding technique. And I've seen it described as the 5-4-3-2-1 technique, something to do with the five senses. But basically, it's a grounding technique. And there are different ways you can do it. But the way she described was that you just need to slow down, take a breath, describe something you can see, describe something that you can hear, describe something that you can smell, describe something that you can touch, describe something that you can taste. And by the time you've gone through that, the anxiety has slowed down a bit. And Jewel mentioned this actually, that something that she would do if she was in the middle of a panic attack. She said that she turned to gratitude, but she kind of describes a similar thing. She said that, I think it was where she used to live or something like that, but she used to, there was a lovely tree, I think, that she could see. And so she used gratitude, but also describing it. So just thinking about what she could see, what she could, you know, she could hear the leaves in the breeze, this kind of thing. And that would just bring her back down to normal, as it were. So I just really like that. I just love the whole process. It just seems like a really simple thing, but had, you know, a profound change. And I like that. This is kind of a bit of a reoccurring thing, isn't it? But something that's really small and easy to do. But just her, this image of the observer. And just by doing that, you create that gap, just that little bit of a buffer that gives you this space. It feels to me like just a breathing space and just a bit of a buffer between you and those anxious thoughts or whatever they are. Just a bit of a breathing space to be able to do something about it.
It's very cool. Part of what you described sounds like she has a very more holistic way of responding to this with doing the observing and creating that pause. It also reminds me of a model that has been pretty popular, and it's referred to as the CTFAR model. Some people refer to it as the self-coaching model. Mm-hmm. So C is for circumstance, and really in the model, they talk about the idea that circumstances are objective things. They're just information. Then the T in the model stands for thoughts. So what we think about this, and this often is triggered by the circumstance, then those thoughts cause our feelings, which then cause our actions, which then come to the result. So we can really work in this model on changing thoughts in order to have different feelings. And so it sounds like in Jewel's way of processing this, by observing, she's able to interrupt the problematic thoughts rather than engage them and then have the resulting feelings, actions, and then results. So I'm kind of giggling on my side because I've been looking at this model lately for some other things, and now have this really cool way of thinking about what to do about it, or one way to help use a tool to interrupt that model and not go to those negative thoughts. Because oftentimes they're limiting beliefs or they're old thoughts based on past traumas or negative experiences. So again, a neutral circumstance triggers a negative thought from our past. So this is a really cool way to interrupt those.
Yeah, and I liked what she said about being able to use that gap as a magical space, as she called it, to step in and change those neural pathways. You've spoken about that before.
Mm-hmm.
How you can change those negative beliefs and change them in a different direction. Actually create new neural pathways.
And therefore really influence the resulting feeling, action, and result that comes from the situation, rather than feeling just kind of thrown through that process based on these beliefs or thoughts, that you can actually interrupt it and create this new way of experiencing it.
And I must admit, the example that she used about that slight distance, instead of saying that you're not sad, but you're the observer of sad, it got me thinking relative to myself about the way I talk about depression and how that impacts me. And that's the trick. That's what I've been trying to do a lot more. I can't remember what I read something or heard something else a while back. It's just creating that slight distance. Instead of saying, I'm a depressive, something I used to say all the time, you know, my depression is back. My depression, part of me, my identity. No, it's not. So that really resonated with me, that bit that she said, you're not sad, but the observer of sad. For me, it just reinforced that I need to keep checking myself if I say that and just rephrasing it. I'm not a depressive. I've had a bit of a depressive period the last week. You know, I've been impacted by depression, but it's not my depression. It's not part of me. It's just something external that impacts me. It's kind of quite a subtle difference.
Yeah, rather than seeing it as part of your identity.
Mm. So that's something else that I took from it. And also probably that I need to get into journaling. It's something that I keep thinking about and not getting round to.
I think in essence, one of the things that's important with the strategy is once you've created that space and you're in that observing place, you can then choose to interpret the information differently. So let's say I am starting to panic and I'm feeling, you know, my breathing is getting more shallow, more rapid, maybe my chest is tightening up, then I can just observe that and say, oh, you know, my body thinks it needs to be stressing right now. Let me see if I can let it relax and use my breath to calm me. It's not necessarily, that example isn't changing the thoughts, but it's, in some ways it is, because in that moment someone thinks, I'm not going to be able to breathe. And so instead, to just slow it down, observe it. Oh, well, let me see if I can loosen these muscles and let my lungs move better.
Mm. Yeah, for me, you know, one of the things that it reminds me of actually was the kind of therapy I was in with my counselor, where I would create characters for different parts. They're called the different parts, the techniques he uses, and I could create all these different parts and they would have names and I would often draw them. Now, funnily enough, that's how Keto Woman was born, but that's a different story. But so it kind of, now I'm thinking about it, it kind of reminds me a bit of that. And the observer is like one of your parts who's just observing, but ends up having this calming presence. It's almost like I'm kind of picturing her now. You know, she's the observer. She's wise and she's calm. And by going through this process that she did of watching her hands and writing things down and letting all her thoughts come out, this presence, but it was actually a part of her that kind of took control a bit and really helped her get through that. It sounds like she already had these threads that she was pulling. It sounds like she used to read very widely and things. It sounds like she was having the beginnings of this career that she's gone on to have in the mindfulness sphere. I find it very interesting, actually, now I think about it, seeing how, you know, it helped formed her. And actually, when I look at it in that frame, that was a real part of her that grew and emerged out of a period of time that was actually very traumatic when she was on the streets and I think got attacked quite a few times and things like that.
So it sounds like you've really made a connection with it of, again, kind of tapping into a part of yourself that can provide that safety and observing view and calmness to help you work to that next place.
Yeah, I think I have. It's funny, as when you come back to look on it afresh and different things strike you.
Sounds really powerful.
Yeah, she's very inspiring. I went out and I dug out the old CD after I'd listened to it. I knew I had this somewhere and reminded myself what her music was like. So yeah.
Very cool.
So on that note, I hope you have a great week, and I hope everyone else out there has a wonderful week too.
Have a great week, everybody.